Welcome to the Real Life Weight Loss Podcast, where we cut through the confusion and get down to the truth about what really works for real people when it comes to losing weight, having incredible health, and a body that you love. We believe that losing weight is really about gaining life, doing things you never thought you could, having renewed confidence, and enjoying your body more than ever. I'm your host, Corey Little. Now let's get to it. Hello, my friends. Welcome back. This is episode number 287, and today we are talking about the new weight loss drugs. In case you've been living under a rock and you just haven't heard yet, there are these new miracle weight loss drugs that help you melt fat like a stick of butter in a microwave. Okay, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But here's the question, right? Do these drugs actually help you lose weight? And are they safe? And should you consider taking them? If you want answers to these questions and more, then you're in the right place. If you are considering taking one of these new weight loss medications, or you're just curious to learn more, then this episode is for you. All of this was inspired by a recent special that Oprah, the one and only Oprah, did called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. I kind of like that title. I kind of wish I had thought of it, because I talk a lot about shame, and within shame and the various emotional elements of weight loss, there is blame, right? And I think there should be a weight loss revolution. I think the diet industry and the weight loss industry has been kind of doing it wrong for a lot of the time. And if you've listened to this podcast much, you know that. If you're a brand new listener, welcome. I'm so happy you're here. Go back and listen to some other episodes and you'll see what I'm talking about. So after this Oprah special, or I guess right before this Oprah special, one of the members of my private coaching group asked me about it. Like, hey, what do you think Oprah's going to say tonight on her special? And I was like, what? Oprah's doing a special? Sometimes I'm kind of not in touch with pop culture very much. And then in addition to that, I've had a few people write emails asking for my input on these weight loss drugs. One person wrote and they said, hi, Corey, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on all the new drugs available. I've never been one to take diet pills or drugs, but all these new medications are certainly tempting. And you may be like, yeah, I hear you. They are very tempting. They said they're certainly tempting me into possibly trying one. And of course, with the infamous Oprah touting the wonders of modern medicine and how not to feel like you failed, which I think that we need more than just a drug to feel like we're not a failure. Anyways, that's my two cents. But how not to feel like you failed, it makes it even more enticing to just try them. Your thoughts would be greatly appreciated, perhaps a podcast on the topic. So here's the thing, and some of you may know if you're a longtime listener, I actually already did an episode on this topic a little over a year ago. So I thought, should I do an entirely new one and, you know, just start from scratch? So I reviewed what I originally, the original episode, and honestly, the information and my thoughts and opinion haven't changed much. So the majority of this episode will be the content from that previous episode. I'll actually just play that audio so you don't have to dig back through old episodes to find it. But before we get to that, I do want to offer a few quick updates and just make a few things very clear. So here we go. First, and maybe most importantly, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't do, or that you should or should not use one of these drugs. You're an adult. It's between you, your doctor, and I would encourage you maybe to also include at least one more trusted person, maybe your spouse, just someone else that loves you dearly and can, you know, really step into this decision and help you make a great decision. But you, your doctor, and maybe one other person, that's who should be involved in this decision-making progress. That's who should be involved in this decision-making process in order to maybe help you make some progress with your weight loss goals. The bottom line is this, my friends, it's your body. You can do whatever you want. You're an adult. The question is, what's the wise choice? What's the wisest choice? And for some people in their specific situation, the pros of these new weight loss drugs outweigh the cons. For others, if they get really honest about their situation, the pros don't outweigh the cons. Now, some of you might be like, Corey, dude, you obviously didn't watch the Oprah special. I didn't. I don't know what she said, but I know that she talked about how she was using one of the new weight loss drugs. And now maybe Weight Watchers will even start promoting or setting up some system to get, you know, to get people access to these drugs. And so you may be thinking, listen, man, you're talking about the pros and cons. There are no big cons. Like there's nothing showing up right now that are huge cons of these drugs. Maybe you're under that impression. Maybe you're like, no, Corey, there are some cons and I've heard about these. But let me just make it very, very clear, regardless of what you've heard in the media or what advertisements you've seen, And this is my second big point, that is that there are cons. There are negatives. There are drawbacks. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Our body is not just a bunch of different isolated parts and pieces. One thing nearly always affects another thing. Just go ask an ecologist what would happen to the Earth's ecosystem if honeybees died off and went extinct. One tiny little bug, and if it were gone, it would have devastating effects. Changing one thing impacts another thing, which impacts another thing and another thing. Now, to what degree? That's a great question. And it will vary from person to person. But there are almost always unintended consequences, or maybe we should say unintended effects. That word consequences typically gets seen in a negative light. So we can just say there's almost always unintended effects. Heck, this is how the weight loss drugs were originally discovered. Now, I explained that in the episode, but basically they developed these drugs to be drugs to help reduce someone's blood sugar. They developed these drugs to be diabetes drugs. And then it was like, holy snot, people are losing a lot of weight on these drugs. We can make more money promoting these as weight loss drugs. And so the process began. Again, I outlined all of that in the episode you're about to hear. But there's almost always unintended effects. And since recording that last episode, there's someone that I know who is near and dear to my heart, and they have diabetes. They were put on one of the drugs, Ozempic or Mounjaro, I can't remember which one. They were put on one of these drugs for diabetes. And it truly helped. It drastically reduced their blood sugar levels. And unfortunately, over time, I have seen the unintended consequences. And these are not things that you would read or see probably in the documentation or information about these drugs. But it's a real-life example of the unintended consequences. Now, what do I mean by that, right? Like, did this person's arm fall off or did their liver shrivel up? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how this impacted other areas of their life that they were almost not even aware of, but because of what I do, I began to notice. So these drugs are designed to make you eat less. Like, whether you want to or not, you eat a lot less. And for this person, I noticed they did eat a lot less. They ate a lot less sugar. They ate a lot less of everything. And they began over time to eat less and less and less protein, very little protein. They lost a lot of weight, and they lost a lot of muscle mass. It was obvious when I looked at their body. They lost a lot of muscle mass. Now, this person wasn't strength training, and they weren't prioritizing protein intake. But I began to notice after spending considerable time with this person, because it's someone, again, who is near and dear to my heart, that they very rarely ate protein. And they just ate a lot less food in general. And because they were eating a lot less food, I noticed a few significant changes about them. Number one, they had no energy. They used to be active and, hey, you want to go help me out with this, whatever, this little honey-do list I have? Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. And suddenly they were, no, I think I'll just sit here. I think I'm just going to relax today. And that kind of turned into almost every day. They had very little energy, very little get up and go. Not only that, and this may seem a little odd, but trust me, from a biological perspective, it makes a lot of sense. As they lost weight and they lost what I believe was a considerable amount of muscle mass, and then they also were not eating much protein, all of these things help the body to stay warm. They began to be cold all the time. I mean, they're freezing cold all the time. It could be, you know, almost 70 degrees in the house and they would be freezing cold. And they would need a heater blowing on them or a blanket or something. But this had all just kind of snuck in and become normal. And they never thought, oh, wow, wait, could this be because of that drug? Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that the weight loss drug, the diabetes drug they were taking, I'm not saying that this drug made certain things happen in their body to cause them, like, it's forcing their body to lose muscle. It's forcing their body to be cold. It's killing their energy levels. No, these are the unintended consequences. These are the unintended effects. Did they lose weight? Yes. It checked off that box. Did they, which that was not even the goal necessarily, but yes, they lost weight. Did their blood sugar numbers come down? Yes. Success, right? But the unintended things that happened was they lost a lot of muscle mass. They've lost strength. And now they're cold all the time and they have no energy. And so I'm over here going, hey, let's eat some more protein. Let's get a workout in. And they're like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. So there are always unintended consequences. Now, to follow up this point of the unintended consequences and the pros and cons, there's an old saying in the science world that there's no such thing as a biological free lunch. I'm not sure who said it first, but it stuck because it's absolutely 100% true. Whatever substance you take to give you a desired effect, that effect is likely coming at a cost, even if we don't realize it, even if you don't know it. Like, we all want some drug or supplement that will give us nothing but benefits. We want it to only deliver the things we want and none of the stuff that we don't want. Unfortunately, that's just not how it works. There's always a cost, even if we don't realize it at the time. And this brings us right back to the idea that our body has an internal ecosystem, as all of you have heard me say probably 100 times on this podcast. We have an internal ecosystem, and you can't just pinpoint one thing. Almost everything has a ripple effect. And here's the thing, just so you aren't starting to believe that I'm going to try to blast these drugs this entire podcast, not at all. When we talk about a ripple effect, if you're significantly overweight, 70 plus, 80 plus, 100 pounds overweight, look, it's okay. I love you all the same. I'm not judging you. I don't want you to judge yourself. Don't feel bad about yourself. It's just where you are right now. That's okay. But if you're significantly overweight, 70 plus, 80 plus, 100 pounds overweight, then guess what? The ripple effect of losing weight will be amazingly positive. And it could very well outweigh, no pun intended, but it could outweigh the potential drawbacks of using semaglutide, like one of the semaglutide drugs, which, by the way, I'm still not sure how to pronounce that word. I think in this old episode that I'm about to run the audio for, I say semaglutide. So I don't know, semaglutide, semaglutide, whichever one's correct. Let's just pretend I say that one all the time. Okay. Okay. Now, before leaving this topic, let's just quickly borrow from what Tim Ferriss shared about this whole concept of there being no biological free lunch. He said, first of all, we must assume there is no biological free lunch. Secondly, assume that the larger the positive effect of anything is, the larger the potential negative effect, whether we know it or not, whether it's known or unknown. And the super simple example is just to think of a major caffeine buzz, right? And then the subsequent drop in energy you'll experience a few hours later. We know if we get a lot of energy and we get a lot of buzz from caffeine, for some of us it's 2 hours, for some of us it's 3 or 4 or 5 hours later, but we will eventually be dropped. Like, it's a caffeine drop, right? Another example of the potential negative effects, whether they are known or unknown, are some of the unintended consequences I talked about earlier with a person that I love dearly. And then the third thing that Tim Ferriss shares is, don't ask a barber if you need a haircut. He says, if someone is selling the thing you're considering or its use has become their identity, then expect biased advice. And this is so incredibly true. And this is a perfect segue for me to say, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a pharmacist, obviously, right? I'm a nutritionist, trainer, and coach who helps people lose weight and gain life. That's what I do. And because my field of expertise is nutrition and exercise, that's how I'm going to try to help people solve their problems, right? We do a lot of mindset work, and there's a large psychological piece of what we do. And so I try to help people solve their problems using nutrition and exercise and psychology. I don't go to medicine. I don't go to drugs because that's not my field of expertise. If you go to a doctor or a pharmacist or someone who represents one of these drugs, they're going to go to a drug. That's their field of expertise, right? So we have to remember that we all try to fix problems based off of what we know. And you need to understand, if you're going to someone who knows drugs and knows, you know, medicine, even regardless of how they feel about the particular medicine, that is their go-to. That's what they know. That's what they're educated in. And so that, whether they realize it or not, it's a cognitive bias. The same way that my brain is going to start thinking through the lens of nutrition and exercise and mindset, a doctor or pharmacist or drug rep is going to start thinking through the lens of drugs. This is not an indictment. This is not a judgmental statement. It's just the way our brains work. Okay? Okay, so don't ask a barber if you need a haircut. Do your own research. Weigh the pros and cons. Talk to people you trust. Maybe this episode will help. And then you make your own decision. Okay? Okay, with all that being said, gosh, this was a much longer intro than I wanted it to be. With all that being said, let's get to this episode now. Today, we're diving into a new and very popular medication that is supposedly helping people lose weight like crazy. I'm going to explain what it is, what it does, just very basic, no like deep science. Then we'll answer the question, is it truly helpful? And if so, then how helpful is it? What are the side effects? I'll tell you about my real world experiences with it. And then lastly, my 2 cents, just kind of my opinion from what I've seen, heard, and read. But right now you may be like, what? Like, hold on, wait a minute. You mean there's a new medication that will help me lose weight? Well, in case you haven't seen it or heard about it, there is a new miracle weight loss drug. Supposedly it's what Elon Musk and Kim Kardashian use to drop some pounds and trim down. Now, right now, you might be either really, really excited or really, really skeptical, and I don't blame you either way. See, just please understand this, okay, before we get started. I am not here to promote or to demonize this drug. You may think, oh, I know what Corey's going to do. He's going to slam this drug and say it's terrible and it's evil. No. I'm not here to promote it or to demonize it. I just want to provide accurate information, the pros and the cons, and then you can decide if this is something you might want to discuss with your doctor. What you do with your body and what you put into your body is 100% your business and your decision. I decided to do this episode because I know that many of you consider me a trusted source of information in the health and weight loss world. To me, that is a tremendous honor that I do not take lightly. I hope you know that I do my absolute best to provide encouraging, helpful, research-backed information that translates to and really works in the real world. And that is exactly what I'll do with today as we explore this new weight loss drug, which is called semaglutide. That's actually the technical name. There's a much better chance you've heard of this compound, but it's by the commercial name, Ozempic, Wegovy, I think that's how you pronounce it, or Rybelsus. Semaglutide was developed in 2012 by a very large Danish pharmaceutical company called Novo Nordisk. And then about 5 years later, it was approved for the treatment of type 2 diabetes and heart disease since it lowers the risk of heart attack and stroke, which are all, you know, really great things. The drug is considered, quote-unquote, an insulin regulator, and it essentially lowers your blood sugar by stimulating the release of insulin. Now, this is very important and very helpful for type 2 diabetics, but that's not all it does. Semaglutide also mimics a hormone called glucagon-like peptide 1. Glucagon-like peptide 1. For short, scientists refer to it as GLP-1. Okay, well, that sounds all nice and fancy, right? But here's what's important to know about GLP-1. This hormone that our body naturally makes, it's what tells our stomach that we feel full, and it slows down the transit of food. So it basically just like the food you've eaten, it sits in your stomach longer and it is slower to move through your digestive tract. Now, as you might guess, both of these things, like feeling full and then our food sitting in our stomach and being slower to move out, both of these things would be considered tremendously helpful for weight loss. Some scientists believe it actually rivals like bariatric surgery, where a doctor surgically reduces the size of your stomach so that no matter what you want to eat, you just can't because your stomach has been substantially reduced in size. But let's remember, this is a drug for diabetics, and it's only approved for the treatment of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. So even though it creates what seems to be the perfect recipe for weight loss, that's not what it was originally intended for. But it didn't take long for people to start noticing the weight loss effects. And then before you know it, just like with so many other drugs, people started using it for off-label purposes, meaning people who did not have diabetes were using it to help with weight loss. And there were probably also doctors prescribing it to obese patients to help them lose weight, possibly under the premise that because they're obese, they're at higher risk of heart disease and it's approved for this, and so we can prescribe it there. I don't know if any of this for a fact, but I've heard stories and I would guess it's true. Well, it didn't take long for Novo Nordisk, the drug manufacturer, to catch on. So they developed an injectable form of semaglutide of this drug specifically designed for weight loss. That's the one that's called Wegovy. And it didn't face much resistance from the FDA. It was quickly approved for the treatment of obesity. In other words, it was now okay for doctors to prescribe this drug specifically for the purpose of helping someone lose weight. So we started with Ozempic, and you've probably seen the commercials. Oh, 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 Ozempic. That's my singing voice. Aren't you glad that I just do podcasts and I don't sing? Yeah. So if you haven't seen those commercials, you can just rewind and laugh at me singing that. Look it up. Anyways, we started with Ozempic, an injectable drug for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. That's what it was approved for. Then came Wegovy, again, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Wegovy, which is another injectable version of the exact same drug, but this one's approved for weight loss. And then the manufacturer realized that some people, hold on, they may not really like injecting themselves. Like, that doesn't sound very fun. So they developed a third version called Rybelsus. And this is an oral form of the exact same drug, semaglutide. But Rybelsus is approved for diabetes and not for weight loss. Now, that being said, I would be willing to bet a decent chunk of money that Novo Nordisk will develop an oral form that is approved for weight loss in the very near future. I mean, from a financial perspective, they're just crazy not to. So other than delivery forms like oral versus injectable, really the only substantial difference between all of these drugs is that Wegovy, the one approved for weight loss, is available in higher dosages in order to facilitate weight loss more efficiently. Okay, well, that's great. Sounds exciting, but like, how much weight will it help me lose, man? Like, and am I going to grow a third arm or go blind? Or will my toes start falling off? Or will my liver explode? Like, oh yeah, great, I lost 30 pounds, but you know, now I only have 8 toes and my liver is about to burst. So basically, in a nutshell, like, we want to know, how helpful is it? And what are the known side effects? And these are great questions. So, how helpful is semaglutide? Well, people who use this drug typically lose up to 15% of their body weight in just a few weeks without, supposedly, quote unquote, without making any intentional modifications at all to their diet or exercise habits. But make no mistake, here's the thing. From everything I've heard and read, your diet will be modified because you'll feel super full and basically have very little appetite. So the bottom line, you will eat less food whether you're trying to or not. And if you eat less food, you're probably going to lose weight. But let's dig into these numbers just a little bit. So like, if someone weighs 250 pounds, then semaglutide could potentially help them lose about 30 to 40 pounds. They start at 250 and end up weeks later, how many weeks? I don't know. But they end up at 210 to 220. Start at 250, wind up at 210 to 220. And obviously, the more you weigh, the more you could potentially lose because it's all based on percentages. But there's another important question we need to ask. How much of this weight loss is from actual fat, like the stuff that you want to get rid of, versus losing precious muscle that you don't want to lose? Well, that's just the thing. We don't know. Like, we don't know how much comes from fat versus how much comes from muscle. But I think it is a reasonable assumption that you would lose more fat and maintain or hold on to more muscle if you put an emphasis on strength training and keeping your protein intake high while using this drug. Now, that might be pretty hard to do. Not the strength training portion, but the protein intake might be pretty hard to do if you have absolutely no appetite. Okay, right now, this is sounding pretty dang good, right? Take some medicine and lose weight without really even trying. Woohoo! So, what's the catch? What are the side effects? Well, as you know, any drug has the potential of side effects. Heck, technically, weight loss is a side effect of semaglutide. It was originally meant to help control blood sugar, and then they were like, holy crap, people are losing weight like crazy, so we should shift and promote this for weight loss as well. So, I mean, any and all drugs have possible side effects, and if you've ever picked up a prescription and read the list of potential side effects online or from the paperwork that they give you at the pharmacy, it's like, oh dear God, I am not taking this. But that list is basically the manufacturer trying to protect their butt, you know, trying to CYA, for all of you that know what that means. They're trying to cover their backside so that you or someone doesn't turn around and sue them when they have an unpleasant experience. Now, depending on how trustworthy you are of pharmaceutical companies, they're pretty much reporting what they saw in their clinical trials. With all that being said, here are the possible side effects for semaglutide. Redness or itching at the injection site, assuming you're using one of the injectable forms, nausea and vomiting, dehydration, diarrhea, stomach pain, constipation, gas, fatigue, and of course, as we already mentioned, weight loss, which is the side effect that we want, right? So from what I understand and from everything I've read and people I've talked to and so forth, the big one is nausea. Apparently, almost everyone who uses the drug experiences debilitating nausea for the first 2 or 3 days. Matter of fact, some doctors will even prescribe Zofran, the anti-nausea medication that's given to cancer patients, to help someone make it through the adjustment phase of those first few days. So those are the listed or the most common side effects. But when you look this drug up on medline.gov.gov, we find a little more information. By the way, medline.gov is an unbiased health information resource from the world's largest medical library, the National Library of Medicine, NLM, which is part of the National Institute of Health, the NIH. And when we dig into Medline, here's what we find for semaglutide. And this is straight from the Medline webpage, in all capitals. Important warning. Semaglutide injection may increase the risk that you will develop tumors of the thyroid gland, including medullary thyroid carcinoma, a type of thyroid cancer. Laboratory animals who were given semaglutide developed tumors, but it is not known if this medication increases the risk of tumors in humans. Tell your doctor if you or anyone in your family has or ever had MTC, which is medullary thyroid carcinoma, that thyroid cancer, or multiple endocrine neoplasia syndrome type 2, a condition that causes tumors in more than one gland in the body. If so, your doctor will probably tell you not to use semaglutide injection. If you experience any of the following symptoms, call your doctor immediately: a lump or swelling in your neck, hoarseness, which some of you, if you heard me clear my throat on this podcast, you may think I'm taking semaglutide. A lump or swelling in the neck, hoarseness, difficulty swallowing, or shortness of breath. So, as we dig a little deeper into the side effects, we can see there's potential for some serious stuff, but they're very clear to explain. This was seen in laboratory animals, but we don't know yet if it's a risk in humans. So take that for what it's worth. It might be applicable and a risk for humans, and it might not. So now let's jump to the real world. I personally know a few people who have used or are using one of these semaglutide drugs. They all experienced a massive reduction in appetite. They all lost some weight. Did they parlay that, adjust their nutrition, work out consistently, and achieve their dream body? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, one of them has gained a decent bit of the weight back. I'm not sure if he's still on semaglutide or not, but I think he is. The other one had much better blood sugar numbers. They lost their appetite and lost some weight, but honestly, their appearance didn't change that dramatically. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, this is someone from my wife's family, and I asked her, I was like, I think they've lost weight. And my wife said to me, I really couldn't tell. And so, again, their appearance didn't change that dramatically. So from my very limited real-world experience with this drug, not meaning my experience, like I've taken it, I have not taken it, but from the people I know who have taken it and from talking to them and just seeing and hearing about their experiences, it helped them lose weight, but it wasn't the answer. It didn't change their life. It didn't deliver them to the promised land of weight loss success and happiness. So just in case you're interested, if you just want like the basic medical facts and that's it, you can stop this podcast right here. But if you're interested in my final 2 cents and you can take it for what it's worth, it may not be worth much more than 2 cents. Here we go. Semaglutide, this new drug, it seems promising to help people lose weight. But I have a few concerns, or maybe we should call them hesitations. First, it's just so new. In the grand scheme of drugs, this is a very new drug. Semaglutide has only been around a short period of time. It was developed in 2012. As I mentioned, it was approved around 2017 and then approved for weight loss even later than that. So really no one knows what the long-term effects may be. But then again, we do know the long-term effects of being diabetic, and those certainly aren't good. And the long-term effects of being overweight, which is not very good for your overall health either. So one could argue that you're trading one set of risk for another set of risk. So I get it. I can see both sides. When it comes to pharmaceuticals, for me personally, you can call me weird or crazy or old-fashioned, but if possible, I just prefer a medication that's been around for a long time. Something that's been tested and used for years and years, like 25 years or more if possible. In my mind, that allows us to gather more and more information about what's really going on and what the true long-term effects are. Like, what is this drug doing in our body, not just over the course of 6 weeks or even 3 to 6 months, but over the course of years and years and years and years. I realize this is not always an option. Totally, 100%. It's just my preference if or when possible. Give me the old drug, not the new fancy one that's supposedly so special but was just developed 3 or 4 years ago. So that's my first concern. The second concern or hesitation is this. Is semaglutide a true solution? Like, is this drug a true solution? Is this the answer to our weight loss prayers? And honestly, I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is for most people. And I think the researchers and medical experts know this, and I think they kind of agree. Medline clearly states semaglutide injection helps to control diabetes and weight loss, but it is not a cure. And here are the facts of the matter. Like, any weight that someone loses from using semaglutide would probably come back with a vengeance after they stop the drug. It's just like if you do a really strict diet. Well, you eat a lot less and you exercise a lot more, you lose a bunch of weight, but if you stop that really strict diet, the weight is going to come back. It's going to be the exact same with this drug. It's almost like this drug forces you to do a really strict diet. So does this mean you shouldn't use semaglutide? No, not at all. I'm not trying to convince you of that. I have one long-time client who has lost a lot of weight, plateaued, but would like to and needs to, for health reasons, lose about 60 to 80 more pounds. The problem is they're doing everything right. Their daily food choices are overall fantastic, and they exercise consistently, usually 5 days per week, and their body is just refusing to give up an ounce. Matter of fact, their weight has even trickled back up a little bit, and this is maddening. This frustrating plateau has lasted not for a few weeks. This has lasted for a year or more. It's not like they just plateaued, like I said, for a couple of weeks or a month. So the evidence, here's the thing, like, just in case you're, because I would honestly, if someone were telling me this story, I would be skeptical. And I hope that you would be skeptical, like, oh, they're sneaking in some food or whatever. But evidence of how good their nutrition and exercise habits are, in spite of being 80 or more pounds overweight currently, they have no glaring health issues. Their cholesterol and triglycerides are good, and their blood sugar is great, but their weight won't budge. This person is going to discuss semaglutide with their doctor in the very near future and see if it might be a good fit. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. My point is this. If someone is legitimately doing everything right and their body just won't respond, they're kind of part of that 1 or 2% of people that I sometimes refer to. Don't get it twisted, guys. Most of us are part of the other 98 or 99% of people. But there are those exceptions out there. If someone's part of that small percentage where their body just won't respond, even though they're legitimately doing everything right, then sure, semaglutide might be something worth exploring. That's between them and their doctor. On the other hand, if you're just 15, 20, 30 pounds overweight, and you've half-heartedly tried a few different diets or weight loss challenges, and you think this new miracle drug will help you knock off that weight and move on with your life, I think you're going to be disappointed. Make no mistake, my friends. Food, emotions, habits, and lifestyle are powerful things. I've known people who had bariatric weight loss surgery. Forget just taking a drug like semaglutide. They had their body physically modified. They had bariatric weight loss surgery, and then they didn't lose substantial weight because their food habits, with the choices they made, they overpowered that surgery. I've also known people who had the surgery. They lost a lot of weight, and then over time, their food, emotions, habits, and lifestyle overpowered the surgery. They stretched their stomach back out and regained basically all of the weight they had lost. And as I mentioned earlier, I know people who are currently using semaglutide, but it hasn't drastically changed their physical appearance. Look, semaglutide can and will lower your blood sugar. It will cause you to feel more full and drastically reduce your appetite. It can help you lose some weight, at least in the short term. But you know what semaglutide can't do? It can't force you to make better, higher quality food choices. It can't convince you to go work out. It can't improve your mental health. It can't help you build integrity with yourself. It can't improve your self-confidence. It can't make you mentally beat yourself up less and actually be kinder to yourself. It can't make you love your body. It can't repair or improve your relationship with yourself. It can't sort through your emotions and discover why you eat what you eat. It can make you eat less. Yes, it can do that. It can prompt weight loss. But in my opinion, it can't change your life in the ways that deep down you probably want it to change. Can it be helpful? Yes, maybe. Is it the solution? The cure? The answer to your weight loss prayers? Personally, I don't think so. But that is just my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. And here's the thing. I have that opinion because I believe that most people don't just want to lose weight. What they really want are all of the things that come with it. All of the things that I mentioned earlier. Basically, whether we realize it or not, the process of losing weight, the self-growth that happens, the self-discipline we develop, the mental muscle that we gain, the renewed confidence we have, not because we look so sexy now, but because we showed up for ourselves and we did what we said we would do. All of those things, the self-growth and self-development that naturally happens as a part of losing weight, those things are what we really desire. It's not just about being in a smaller size or seeing a number that's 15 or 20 pounds lower on the scales. Look, we've been talking about the side effects today. I believe when you go about things the right way, ironically, just like with semaglutide, weight loss is a side effect. When you go about things the right way, weight loss is a side effect. When you seek to improve your relationship with yourself, to honor yourself, to love yourself, to have integrity with yourself and what you said you would do, to learn new daily habits that serve and help you instead of punishing and berating you, the side effect of all of these things is weight loss and better health, better mental, emotional, and physical health. That is what I love helping people do. And it is my hope and prayer that you get some of that from this podcast. If you think semaglutide might be a good option for you, then certainly go and discuss it with your doctor. I don't think I need to say this, but I would never judge or criticize you or anyone for choosing to take semaglutide or choosing to get bariatric surgery. Not at all. Look, we're all at different places on this journey of life. You need to gather information and make the best decision for yourself. All I want is for you to have tremendous success with your health and your life. I hope this has been helpful today. I hope that maybe you feel a little more informed on this drug that you might have seen or heard about on the news or somewhere online, or maybe you know someone who's using it. And I hope that if you know someone who's been asking questions about this new drug, or maybe they're just struggling to lose weight, whatever, I hope you'll share this episode with them or share it on social media and tag me. I am at Corey Little Coach on Instagram, and I'm Corey Little Coaching on Facebook. And then, last but certainly not least, please remember and never forget that regardless of what you weigh, there is so much more to you than a number. So don't let the scales creep in and mess with your mind or dictate your emotions. No, because you're freaking incredible and there's so much more to you than that. And losing weight is just wonderful, absolutely. And it makes a lot of things in life better. But losing weight is really about gaining life and living the life you want to live. It's about gaining all those things I just mentioned earlier. That's what losing weight is really all about. And I know you can do it. I believe in you 100%. So even if you've struggled in the past, even if you don't think you can do it, even if you don't believe in yourself, keep coming back. You can borrow my belief, and I'll do everything I can to help you get there. Take care, my friends. God bless. Bye-bye.